Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, celebrating the Aliento Tequila photo exhibit with a tequila tasting and other entertainment, November 8th, 6 to 9 p.m. Ticket info and more at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. A city like San Antonio, with such rich cultural roots, is also rich with performing artists. From the classics to postmodern mashups, the city has talent ready to take the stage and perform at a world-class level. But are the right components here in place to help local performing arts find their audience and thrive? What's missing? What could use a boost? And what is the city just getting wrong? The city's Department of Arts and Culture and the San Antonio Arts Commission are seeking feedback on a draft plan focusing on enhancing and promoting San Antonio's performing arts. And we invite you to call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. Tweet at us at @tprsource. Are you a member of the San Antonio Performing Arts community? Call in, tell us what you think the city can do to help you find an audience, find a stage. 210-614-8980. With us this afternoon, we're joined by Debbie Rockesitter, Executive Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture. Debbie, welcome back.
Thanks.
Suhail Arastu is here, a member of the San Antonio Arts Commission. Suhail, welcome.
Great to be here.
And Corey Cowart is the executive director with the San Antonio Symphony. Corey, it's good to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Debbie, tell me, when we talk about performing arts, it's a broad term. So what are the pieces that we're playing with?
Well, we're looking at the overall needs of the San Antonio performing arts and develop strategies that will ensure sustainability of nonprofit organizations and venues specifically. So you've got the gambit of nonprofits, from your classic type arts, symphony, ballet, and opera, which is what you kind of think of. But then you have your theater groups, the public theater, the Woodlawn Theater, classic theater, Jumpstart, a little more non-traditional there. And then you have those that do a mix, which are the Guadalupe Theater, the Esperanza Peace and Justice Center, and Urban 15, all the way to those organizations that work with children, like the Magic Theater, the Children's Chorus, youth orchestras, and Met Ballet. But in addition to all these nonprofit organizations, you have venues that hold anywhere from 300 people to 3,000 people. And do we have the right size, number, and mix of venues to support these organizations? And do people even know what's going on in San Antonio with performing arts and what to go see?
But there's performing arts in San Antonio that I think may not even fit into those categories you brought out, sort of like San Antonio's traditional conjunto and alternative rock and roll bands that we have, Piñata Protest and Feya. And just like if I was going to go to Memphis and I'd want to see authentic Beatles Street Blues, maybe I bet there's a lot of people who come to San Antonio looking for authentic San Antonio conjunto Tejano music, right? And is that something that is going to be fostered?
Exactly. So we have our music strategic plan that we're focusing on individual bands and individual artists with the music plan. So that was really a focus on industry. And performing arts is really more of a focus on the art and the ecosystem. So they'll be included, but we want to include those groups as more of a collaborators and bringing some cross-pollination to different organizations and try to grow the music industry through the music plan, but also performing arts. We want to set up a level of sustainability in San Antonio and maybe even set up a brand. That was something that our groups that we have already met in the work sessions, they said, you know, San Antonio doesn't have its own performing arts identity. We need to have an established identity so we can tell the world what is San Antonio as far as performing arts goes.
Suhail, what would a San Antonio brand, what would that look like?
I think really celebrating what we are is the crossroads of the Americas. San Antonio lies at the cross-section of 35 that goes from Mexico to Canada and I-10 that goes from California to Florida. And we are part of the United States right now. We have this amazing heritage that's native, that's Latin, and also European. And to have a brand that speaks to that through Western symphonic music, through classical dance, through native and folk traditions. And that, I think, is a brand. And, you know, the Kulturart plan, which the Department of Art and Culture has put together, has overseen this. And now with the Performing Arts plan, along with the Music Committee plan, are all speaking to this collective voice of really having this as a San Antonio be a place where people visit for the arts. And we have a lot of international visitors that come. I work for a performing arts company called Musical Bridges Around the World. And they may not have heard of this city. They might have heard of the Spurs or the Alamo or the Riverwalk, which are all great brands. But those repeat visitors and have an opportunity to come and enjoy the performing arts because they know about them and they celebrate our heritage, like you mentioned, what Nashville does for the blues and country. And
people, when they're seeking an authentic experience, and do you think that this could help create that?
I do, because San Antonio has, you know, we're 63%+ Hispanic city, right? We've got this amazing designation now with UNESCO World Heritage Site. So we're attracting a different type of visitor, but the people here that are homegrown have their own culture and their own heritage. And to not celebrate that would be a disservice to our community and to our visitors. So I think, you know, through this plan is we want to celebrate internationally this confluence of living arts and authentic cultures. The city will inspire more local participation, inclusion, and pride of all of its arts.
Corey Cowart, Executive Director of San Antonio Symphony. The symphony is the players. Well, that's a great resource for the city, but the symphony also has its own strategic plan. I mean, how does that work together?
Well, over the summer in 2018, the interim executive director, Michael Kaiser, came in and really put together a plan or kind of the roadmap for what the symphony needs to do to strengthen its both its own internal resources and its ultimate value back to the community. And this is it's looking at what specifically what the symphony needs to do in terms of how to increase its reach, how to increase its partnerships with other organizations and strengthen the financial capabilities of the organization, but also doing that in partnership with the city, that it's something that for any nonprofit organization, especially a symphony orchestra, that it needs to partner with its city, with its community, and go in ways that are harmonious.
Right. But this is not a plan to promote the symphony or the ballet or these other things. This is a plan to promote diversity. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, Debbie Rockesetter, the equity lens of the city budgeting is also being used in this as well, right?
Exactly. And so the performing arts organizations that I mentioned earlier were included in our arts agency funding, which we had an equity focus in those. So they're already included in that plan. But that really focused on how to invest city dollars in those organizations. This is a broader reach and looking at creating a strong performing arts image citywide, looking at maybe diversifying those revenues, not just looking at city funding, but what other revenues could performing arts organizations tap into, maybe cross collaborations for ticket sales.
All right, so now we're talking about money. Okay, mm-hmm. And this is where it gets real. And so how much money are we talking about? How do people get hold of it? Especially if you're a performer and you're trying to figure out, I think I am adding something to value, but this is very tough for me to sustain. And where do I turn to for help? Is this strategic plan for the performing arts going to help me? So I certainly would like to hear from performers in San Antonio to give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're going to take a 1-minute break and we'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the strategic plan for the performing arts from the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture and the San Antonio Arts Commission. This is a plan that's in development now, and they're asking for public input on that. We do have some public input right now from our email. The number to call in if you've got a question or a comment is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What happened to our theater company that performed out of the Tobin? It was exciting to think that we were going to have a professional theater company finally, and it would be based on such a great space. And that is from one of our listeners on email. And so Debbie Rockesitter, Executive Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Art and Culture.
So, yes, I think they're talking about Attic Rep. Attic Rep was a Tobin resident company, theater company, and they were doing some real eclectic work out of the Tobin. They ultimately decided that they could not make things happen, and they ended up closing. So that's an example, as well as the Alamo City Opera Piccola. When Mark Richter passed away, the agency decided to fold. So those are examples of the reason why we need a performing arts strategic plan, because we don't want to be losing our performing arts assets in San Antonio simply because of various reasons that they can't sustain. We want to work on what is the reason why we could keep these organizations, how could we grow, and how could we make it viable for new organizations to come in and make San Antonio their home.
Suhail Arastu, member of the San Antonio Arts Commission, when we lose things like this Attic Rep and our opera company, that makes it hard for the next people who say, I have a plan, I have a dream. They want to make it work, but the track record's not good for San Antonio in these areas. Having a strategic plan like this, could that change it?
I believe so. If you have a good strategic plan that's implemented and you have funding, which it always comes down to, across a broad range of sources, that is going to help sustain, propel, and allow arts agencies to continue to thrive. And a part of this is education. And kids have to be exposed at a young age to the performing arts and to appreciate them and to enjoy them and to partake, because otherwise you're graduating kids out of junior high and high school that have not been exposed, and therefore they don't have interest. So they're not going to be the patrons of the future.
Got a call. The number is 210-614-8980 from Paul. Paul, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks very much. Yeah, my question was, is this going to be a community-wide endeavor? Our theater, Performing Arts San Antonio, is on 281, just inside 1604. And the whole reason we came out here to the north side was to expand arts opportunities into a larger area of the community. So I just wonder if that's going to be a focus, or is the focus simply greater visibility for what's downtown?
All right, Paul, thank you for that. Debbie Rockesitter?
So the idea is it will be a community-wide event plan, and we've already done a couple of work sessions, but we're going to have a community-wide event on November the 13th to look at the draft plan, and everybody's invited. We've had people from not downtown that actually attended. We had some that were not members of these existing organizations that attended our previous work sessions, and they've developed this plan. It's a community-driven plan. And the feedback will come from residents, visitors, arts patrons, performing artists, arts agencies, venues. Anybody who's affected by this plan should come to the Guadalupe on November the 13th at 6 o'clock and learn about the plan. We're also putting it on our website at sanantonio.gov/arts, and you can learn more about the plan and provide your feedback. If we're not doing something that you think we should be doing, put it down, and we'll explore the opportunities and the options that we might have for that.
But when we talked earlier about who are the performing artists groups in San Antonio, we heard a lot about the usual suspects. And Paul, it's a new thing. He's branching out. It's geographically diverse for San Antonio, outside of downtown or outside of these traditional spaces. Is the message that's being sent is that everyone is welcome, we're going to try some new things, and we can help you with what? What can you help them with?
Well, we have to analyze our arts assets and see what we have all over the city. We're going to be looking at the venues that we have, not only downtown, but throughout the city, and how they can best be utilized and expanded or explored. And then we will look at what are the needs. Once the needs are identified, we'll see, does that turn into, what kind of resources does that turn into? Is it is it resources from the city or from is it resources from the community? Is it that we need to just do more marketing and get the word out there so that more people come to shows that are put on by these groups that are in their own neighborhoods and they don't even know about them? Those kind of things. We're just remaining open to the possibilities of what the community says that we need to do.
Do you have a question or a comment about the city's new plan to promote and enhance performing arts locally? Are you part of a performing arts organization? What needs do you have, and how could this plan help you? The number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. So the stated primary purpose of this plan is to identify needs and opportunities for performing arts in San Antonio and devise methods of success. So what performing arts needs have been identified so far?
Well, number one, we need a strong performing arts image in San Antonio. What is our image going to be? We also need to increase and diversify revenues. So there's already been a couple of work sessions where folks have identified the need for more funding sources.
So like outside of ticket sales or cover charge and what, and the city, I mean, look for what, underwriters or? What are some of these other opportunities?
And what other types of ways can funds be raised for these different things? It could be underwriters. It could be different ways to reach people who might be wanting to donate and not realize that these arts organizations are nonprofits and that there is an opportunity to donate, whether it be individual or whether it be corporate. But then there's also opportunities of looking at what else might be out there for increasing ticket sales and trying to get visitors to come and see shows that they might not even hear about. So how do we connect through marketing with Visit San Antonio? And it's something that I've been working on for the last several years. And we're moving the needle on that.
And so what other performing arts needs have you all identified?
There is a big desire to create a performing arts collaborative. So ways for organizations to collaborate with one another and do cross promotion, but also do things that are unique to San Antonio and bring something different to San Antonio, and as well as showcasing the talents that we have here. Collaborations could bring small organizations and large organizations together, like perhaps the symphony collaborating with a smaller organization to promote both groups and do something that's very unique and very exciting.
So, Corey, tell us, I mean, the symphony has had struggles as a nonprofit. Can you tell us how things are going right now?
Yeah, well, the challenges at the San Antonio Symphony are very real and no secret. But the good news is we've really kind of turned that first corner. We have the organization has hired a regular full-time executive director, and I started back in January. Our board is engaged now at a deeper level than I think they've been in the last several years. And our musicians have agreed to a three-year contract that really kind of fits within the organization's budget. And so we're still working forward to grow our audience base and really, rather than get the word out, I think, persuade more people to come to these, fantastic concerts that we have in the Tobin Center and throughout the community. And we're really kind of going back to what Debbie was talking about this, space for collaboration, that these meetings that we've had so far and in my being on the ground since January, of meeting with individuals who are in the performing arts space from either museums to other arts organizations, music organizations, theater organizations, and just starting the conversation of what are you guys looking to do 3-4 years out? Because our planning period, we're already about two seasons down the road and getting dates secured, artists secured, and understanding how can we work together going forward. So these are the things that this sort of this process has really helped me as an individual get to know more about San Antonio and more the organizations in town.
Okay, let me go to a caller, Gilbert. And Gilbert, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I was just curious to see if the organization would be open to directing funds to advocate for the interests of low-income families here in San Antonio and kind of use their efforts to shine a light on the need to, you know, reach out to those families who really either don't have the means or don't even know about those opportunities that are out there for children to be exposed to some of the great art that's here in the city.
All right, Gilbert, thank you for that question. Suhail Arastu, member of the San Antonio Arts Commission, what do you think about that?
It's a very real problem.
Because this is for the entirety of the city. This is not just for certain parts of the city. We want everyone to be able to participate and view great performing arts, right?
Exactly. And so we have to dispel this myth that art is somehow just discretionary or entertainment or luxury. Art is for everyone. And so because of that, the commission is working very closely with the city's equity office to ensure that the marketing and outreach that is done, it really is reaching a higher concentration of communities of color and low income to really further engage these areas. And I can give you an example of my organization, Musical Bridges. Our concerts are free and open to the public at the Cathedral San Fernando. So we have people from all walks of life, passersby, downtown residents, people that stay after mass, the San Antonio Symphony, as well as Art San Antonio Musical Bridges, go out into the schools and take musicians and artists there at no cost. And so that's bringing it straight to them and subtracts logistical challenges. Now, those types of programs are not necessarily, can't be actually supported by the department because they're not publicly offered, and that department is supported by hotel occupancy tax. So when Debbie refers to diversity in funding, maybe one of the things that the city needs to look at is actually partnerships with education, because as we mentioned earlier, it is about cultivating and about giving access, and equity is a huge part of how this question is being addressed.
So, Debbie Rockefeller, the city's got a huge megaphone. You're able to spend a ton of money on promotion and marketing for the city. And can some local performers be part of that as well?
Local performers should come to the plan workshop that we're having at the Guadalupe on the 13th, and also provide their feedback online and through our staff as well. So yes, they definitely can be a part of that. We want to make sure that everybody is heard, and that's the point of having a community engagement.
All right, let me go to Juan on the phones. Juan, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon. I'm a lifelong resident of San Antonio, and I hear all these folks talking about funding and stuff like that, and that's great. I know there's part of it. But for example, if I want to give a concert, if I'm a talented guitarist, we just spend billions of dollars on the San Antonio River. All along the San Antonio River, there's places where people can sit up and give a concert if they want to, a solo or anything, even a class. You know, just on the resident side, on the south side of San Antonio, people can come by the river there on Military Drive and just sit there and let people hear them or give a class in violin. I mean, we have excellent weather.
All right, well, Juan, thank you for that call. So Debbie Rockefeller, making use of some of these open air auditoriums, amphitheaters that we have. Real quick, we've got about a minute here.
And those are great opportunities for some of our nonprofit organizations to be able to go out. We're a big proponent through the Music Strategic Plan that musicians be paid for their work. And so the city does not advocate for artists to just go out and work for free. We want them all to be paid. So there needs to be some underwriter, because artists have to live too. They have to eat. And that's part of how this kind of dovetails with the Music Strategic Plan, is we want to make sure that artists are paid for their work.
All right, we're going to take a break. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What about the venues that we have in San Antonio? Is more are coming online, and which ones work, and are they available for these art organizations? We'll talk about that when we come back. 210-614-8980. The Source continues right after this.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. Do you attend local theater, dance, or other performing arts events? What are some of your favorite art venues and organizations? Why do you feel it's important to support the performing arts in San Antonio? Do you think that San Antonio has a unique feature when it comes to performing arts that should be promoted, cultivated, fostered, that we tell a unique story, have a unique vibe of performing arts here in San Antonio? How do we bottle that and turn that into revenue so people can be paid for their work? Their number to call in is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And how can a strategic plan for the performing arts created by the performers, but also with the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture and the San Antonio Arts Commission helping lead the way, how can that come about? 210-614-8980. Let's go to Tessie on the phone. Tessie, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, hello. Yes, I was hoping that Debbie, I believe, could clarify what she means about developing an image for performing arts in San Antonio. Is that like an ad campaign or something? And also that ticket prices for most theater productions are really high. It ends up being like around $35 to go for one person to go see a play. So that's really a deterring factor for most people.
Tessie, thank you for your call. And Debbie Rocca-Sitter is with us, Executive Director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture.
Yes, Tessie, I think that we are talking about developing an image that is something that we can then promote to our visitors because, as Sue Hale mentioned earlier, the department is funded by the hotel occupancy tax, so the more people that stay in hotels, the more money we have for arts agencies and performing arts as well. But also, we want an image so that people in San Antonio can say, oh, I know what that is. I know what performing arts means. I know that there's all these places to go and things to see.
Do you mean like Austin or Seattle or someplace like that? You know, you would have a scene that
right.
People can kind of have and know what that is.
Right. So that people, we want to be able to put everything down into, we already have a community calendar that has all the arts organizations, events, as well as our own on the city's website. How do we get the word out there so that people can know what they can attend, whether it be something that does cost quite a lot to go to, like going to the Majestic and seeing a Broadway play, which can be very expensive, or, you know, going to some of our community venues like the Guadalupe and Jumpstart, where you can buy tickets that are less expensive because they cater to different genre and different community, and they focus on community events. So,
and they really do speak to San Antonio experience.
Exactly. We just need to get the word out about these events because even if you're charging $10, $30, $50, whatever, if nobody comes and buys a ticket at all, you're still not making anything, and your performers are sitting there thinking, well, why am I even here? So we want all the venues to be utilized and filled, and we don't want to have competing events. So if you have the same type of event going on at the same night in two different places, that's not really beneficial. We have a big city. We have 1.5 million people. We can fill up every venue with performing
arts.
Well,
we saw that this weekend with the Day of the Dead. That was it had to be like stopped, you know? I mean, there were so many people who were showing up, they had to say no more folks.
Well, and there were Day of the Dead events happening all over town that were very well attended, and then the Diwali Festival of Lights was going on at Hemisphere right across the street from the La Villita. So hundreds of thousands of people come to the Fiesta events in the spring, and they come to different events all throughout. And you can support in this city having multiple performing arts going on at the same time and the same night, as long as they're different and they are attracting different audiences and they have different views and things that they're doing.
Got an email from Aaron. How do you make sure the funds that the city gives to organizations are being used responsibly and not to cover old bills? So I guess when people are 501c3 and they do apply for the city for funds, they do have to present things like budgets and other things. Debbie, how do y'all, and Suhail, how do y'all track all that?
So the Department of Arts and Culture with the Culture Art Plan went to a model of funding operations. And one of the things that's not allowed is to pay old debt. And so we fund the operations of the organizations and we don't require them to have a particular program that they do. We ask them to develop a program and tell us what they're going to do, but they don't have to do something in particular. We do require, and Corey can probably tell you all about what we require, that they submit backup documentation for every invoice that they submit to the city showing that they've spent the money in the proper way, and there's a list of expenditures. It's not easy to get city money. It's quite difficult. And so that's, smaller organizations can have a little bit more of a challenge, but we are the most flexible in the sense that we fund operations rather than specific programs. And so it allows the organizations to be a little more flexible and to offer things that they feel their communities want.
And I would say that we're unique also as a city because we have a Department of Art and Culture that does support the performing arts. Not all cities do. And when those applications come in and they've been vetted by staff, they're presented to the commission, which then has a funding committee as a subcommittee, which reviews them, and then they're approved by the entire commission, which is a diverse body with appointees from every city district and then the mayor.
So we've mentioned this before. I don't think we really have explained it fully, that their hotel motel dollars are used in this area, right, Debbie?
Yes.
So how does that work?
So the state has a tax on hotel occupancy, and the city gets a portion of that. And within the city's portion, arts is allocated 15% of the city's. And that's roughly about $10 million a year. And the Department of Arts and Culture manages those funds.
So I got an email. Says, I'm on the board of a local arts organization. We have a programmatic grant from the Department of Arts and Culture. It's paid in 4 installments. The first 2 are larger. The last is reimbursement-based. As I understand it, we are required to spend the funds in the time period which we receive them. This doesn't match our expenses for the program, and every year causes end-of-the-year hardship. The reimbursement twist at the end is also a hardship and feels punitive somehow. The city should be making things easier for agencies and not harder. Why are they doing it this way?
I think there's some misunderstanding, and I'd like to have a conversation with that individual because we do not fund programs. We fund operations. And yes, the funds are allocated at the beginning of the year, and they are in 4 installments. But at the beginning of the year, they get a part of the money. But with the next allocation, they have to prove that they spent the first one. So we are a government, and we do have to be accountable to taxpayers. So we do have to make sure that all the funds are spent within the fiscal year, because the monies go away at the end of the year. That's the way government tends to work. I would like to talk to them about the program aspect, because we don't require that they have a particular program that they pay for. We do require that they do programming. Otherwise, they're not an arts organization and they're not eligible.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Vanessa. Vanessa, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I have a kind of general question. As development is increasing more towards the urban and downtown areas, how are you all balancing the need for public space in performance arts while accommodating kind of to commercial use, particularly an example like at the Pearl, where the amphitheater that used to host wonderful Echela Festival, but it seems as though as residents and other commercials came in, that kind of did a decrease, and I'm wondering how you all balance accommodating the public while also accommodating during commercial space.
All right, Vanessa, thank you for that. How do we track what venues that we have here locally, and are they broken down according to public and private?
So we currently don't have a mechanism that we're tracking them, but as a part of this plan, we are going to be putting together a listing of performing arts venues that will be available on the city's website. We've worked with UTSA to collect a list of venues that were available for music, and that was pretty much just the name, address, and contacts, but not whether they're public or private. We're going to be asking the venues to fill out quite a lot of information so that it can be utilized for not only for-profit and nonprofit, but also if individuals want to rent the space, they would be available, or for our conventions that might come and want to use space. So we don't currently have an official list. Now, we know which spaces are city-owned facilities and which spaces are not. And a lot of people think that the city owns the Tobin, for instance, and we do not. The city does not own the Tobin Center. The Tobin is owned by the Tobin Foundation and the Bexar County Center for the Performing Arts, which is not a government entity. It's a nonprofit. So that's an example. But the city does own the Majestic Theater, and it is leased to a vendor that's running all the facilities at the Majestic, so the city doesn't operate the Majestic. But we do own and operate the Lila Cockrell Theater. So those are the things that are confusing for people, and we're trying to put that all down into a database where it can be more transparent.
And what about like the Arneson River Theater? People loved using that for a performance?
And that's a great performance space that is owned by the city and operated by our Center City Development Office. And they have listings of how you can use that space and how you can lease that space if you want to use it for profit. Nonprofits are given a special rate as well. So they look at those things differently, whether it's a ticketed event or a free event, and they charge different rates depending.
And all this boils down to ticket price, you know, keeping it within reach of the consumer, the audience that we want to reach.
Right. And the ticket prices need to be they need to be commensurate with what people are willing to pay and what they can pay, but they also have to pay the bills to some extent, because you can't have there are a lot of expenses. Musical Brudges does a great job, but they have a lot of underwriters that they get to do that.
All right, we're taking another break. The phone lines are open. We'll get you on the air. The number is 210-614-8980. If you have a question about performing arts in San Antonio, if you're a performing artist, you want to find out where you can get a stage or you get some city support, their number to call in is 210-614-8980. Source continues after this break. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davis. We're talking about a strategic plan for San Antonio's performing arts scene. And, you know, there is a responsibility on the media to actually report on what's going on with performing arts locally. You know, here at Texas Public Radio, we've got Jack Morgan, and he's a full-time dedicated arts reporter. The paper also has one. But you think, you know, and I'm going to go hear from everybody about what you think ought to be done locally. You know, we talk about it here at TPR that we're going to report on the symphony like other people report on the Spurs. You know, we're going to be covering it all the time and making sure people are aware of what's going on. So Corey Cowart, the executive director of the San Antonio Symphony, I mean, do you think that, you know, all the media should kind of have that attitude?
Well, the arts are such an important part of the ecosystem of any community. I mean, both just what the cultural life is like, but also the economic impact of why people choose to live here, stay here, and continue to thrive. So just as, you know, you mentioned focusing on the Spurs or the local minor league baseball team, that there are other things that are equal, that the community has equal pride for, and is that the, you know, is that the arts, is that the orchestra, is that the local theater company. And to know what all of these organizations are doing on a weekly or monthly basis, that being very biased in the symphony, that there is impressive things that go on week after week in the Tobin Center, just as I'm sure there are with the San Antonio Symphony, just as I'm sure there are throughout the entire community, that as we become more engaged and both attend live events and meet our other, you know, our neighbors, our fellow citizens, through these arts experiences, through these shared communal experiences, it just makes everything better. And having an outlet and a megaphone that can amplify that out is invaluable.
And Debbie Rockesetter, the executive director of the City of San Antonio's Department of Arts and Culture, is there it can be hard for media sometimes to tell these stories, or this people who are performers to get their stories to the media. I mean, can training come in play, figuring out how to engage the other?
I think training would be great, and we also have really beefed up our marketing team at the Department of Arts and Culture. It's led by Crystal Jones. She's our sales and marketing administrator, and she also handles film and music as well from her team. But we want to do more training of our performing arts groups on how to better market themselves and try to help that with that coordination and to get those stories out. Because like I said, we do have a calendar that tells community about every event that's going on that's arts and culture related. But if our organizations don't enter their information into that calendar, they won't be listed. And then we take that information and we use that for our newsletter. We use that for some of our marketing ad buys that we do with outlets. We promote that through news releases to different organizations. So it's something that if the organizations or performing artists are not trained in how to tell their story and how to get the word out there, then they're not going to be as successful as we'd like them to be.
And Suhail, how would people get better at this? I mean, some people just have a knack for social media and they're on it all the time. They know this is how you reach your audience, and other people, they kind of have to be told, you know, get that Instagram going, guy, you know?
Arts is the soul of a great metropolis. When you travel to other cities, I see, for example, in Chicago, banners along the streets or at the airport talking about their symphony. And we've had great meetings with Visit San Antonio and their leadership, talking about how we can help promote the arts to both our visitors and locally, because we're not marketing to the people that already know about us. I mean, we're messaging to them, but they know that we exist, right? The target is going to be for the people that don't know about us, the people that are visiting San Antonio, the people who have, you know, difficulties with barriers access. And so how do we get that message out? You're right. Social media is king right now. We've got radio, we've got television, we've got billboards, and we've got this shared experience. When people talk about what they've done and they share that with their communities, their families, their neighbors, and their colleagues, and invite people to join them for whatever they enjoy, whether it's theater, whether it's music or other, you know, museum art, I mean, that is the shared story that it's going to collectively build an audience.
Let's go to Lydia on the phones. Lydia, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm calling because it seems to me that to cultivate some growth in the arts, or like so many other things, we need to consider our youth. And my daughter was a part of the Children's Chorus of San Antonio for many years. And we also helped to support Youth Orchestra of San Antonio. In fact, last night my husband and I attended one of their concerts, and we thoroughly enjoyed it. And it seems to me that those people need to be brought to the table as well. Not only the people in administration who make these things happen, but some of the youth. They certainly have a point of view, something to add, and I would think that they continue to have an interest in performing arts as they grow. Our daughter is at SMU now, and she attends the symphony up there and a lot of other performance organizations, and attends a number of concerts while she's there.
All right, Lydia, thank you for the call. Corey Cowart, San Antonio Symphony, y'all work a lot in collaboration with these youth organizations that Lydia mentioned, right?
Yes, we do yearly side-by-sides with Youth Orchestra of San Antonio, and those are concerts where our musicians sit and share stands with the students of YOSA, as well as this year for our Holiday Pops programming, the Children's Chorus was going to participate with us. And I completely agree on not only the exposure aspect of it. I mean, the San Antonio Symphony, through our education programs, we reach over 45,000 students annually. But the biggest thing is when those students are older, in middle school and high school, that those kids, those students that participate and thoroughly enjoy and are invigorated by these art forms, of using them as, or letting them be their own kind of sales tool. Because as an organization like the Symphony, us trying to speak to middle school, high school, or even early 20-somethings without an advocate that is of that age group, it falls on hollow ears. So
Yeah, so Suhail?
I'm glad Lydia brought that up, because You know, sometimes with budget cuts in the school systems, arts is removed, and so it's important that parents help engage their kids in whatever means, whether it's playing an instrument, whether it's attending and engaging music. And I know collectively organizations are trying to reach that demographic, but we have to inspire. And we were talking about collaboration earlier. And so the San Antonio Symphony and Musical Bridges Around the World have a major collaboration just coming up in January. It's called the Gerwitz International Piano Competition. David Robinson, the Admiral himself, is the honorary chair, and he was a pianist. Most people don't know that. He plays piano, but it's part of these multidimensional leaders that people don't recognize that a component like the arts is so pivotal in their development. And when you have a competition like that, it attracts global attention and puts the world stage and the world's eyes on San Antonio. And when that competitor and those finals are happening at the Tobin Center for the Performing Arts with these great musicians, it's going to inspire our local artists to be part of attending the initial rounds, to seeing what happens as a career development for a musician, and really inspires them, if they are developing a career musician, to take that next step.
And Debbie Rocksitter, collaboration, is that something that could come about with people coming together to, work in this and developing San Antonio's performing arts scene? As you get together, people start talking, and when conversation leads to, let's work together.
Right, and I think that just these two work sessions that we've had so far, Corey can attest to the fact that he's met folks that he thought, oh, this will be a great collaboration in the future. So we're seeing that already happening. We want to be able to facilitate more collaborations. The city has the ability to get the word out. We have the ability to have free public spaces where we can have collaboration meetings and people coming together. We just need to get the word out there and get more folks talking about the performing arts and the arts in general.
So you have another work session coming up. It's open to the public, right?
Yes. The next work session will be at the Guadalupe Theater. It's on November 13th at 6 p.m. And we'll be talking about the strategic plan and taking more feedback.
But getting to this point, you had other sessions. Was that through invitation only?
No, those sessions were open to the public as well. We had them at KLRN Studios downtown, and we had about 30 participants come to those sessions. We wish it would have been more people come, but it was Saturday mornings. People were working. People, you know, they want to cut their grass. They want to do other things.
So what does success look like for the strategic plan?
So I think that the strategic plan would show that we have looked at equity always when we're doing this, but also San Antonio, people know here's the place to go, here are the things to do, and we actually have great theater, great symphony, and we want to go see those things. I could see these events happening all over our city and not just in the Tobin, and I think that people don't realize that the symphony does go out into other communities and play and perform. We want the word out. Our success is that more people are coming, visitors are coming, people are valuing in the arts and paying for a ticket and buying a ticket when they can, and we're recognizing that some people can't.
And are you getting feedback from people who do that? Are they getting what they want?
That's what we have done, a survey of our community that's a representative sample, and people do want. They want festivals, they want fairs, they want performing arts, they want to see authentic San Antonio, and that's what people want. So we need to tell people that it exists in San Antonio and where they can go get it.
All right. Debbie Rocksitter is Executive Director of the City of San Antonio Department of Arts and Culture. Suhail Arastu is a member of the San Antonio Arts Commission. Corey Cowart is the Executive Director of the San Antonio Symphony. And one last time, when is your next meeting on this?
It is November the 13th at the Guadalupe Theater at 6 p.m.
All right. And everyone is invited, especially people who are involved in the performing arts in San Antonio. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Rospiedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.